Hello, Tom Myers here. If you're like me and you've got a lot to say, a lot of stories to share, a lot of opinions to give, then listen up. I'm going to talk about something that's going to take your passion for podcasts to the next level. I'm talking about the 7 Million Bikes podcast course. This is the podcasting course you need. Imagine having the skills, the knowledge, and the confidence to create, produce, and grow a successful podcast. And you're not doing it alone. I'm talking about Neil Mackay, the podcast guy, founder of 7 Million Bikes Podcasts. He knows what it takes to turn your passion into a podcast that stands out. He's going to guide you through everything from podcast ideas that resonate to nailing that audio production and even editing your episodes like a pro. With 23 tutorials and over 3 hours of video content, this course is packed with practical tips, real-world examples, and everything you need to know to get started. Just $97 for a wealth of knowledge that'll set you up for podcasting success? It's a no-brainer. Think about it. Less than $100 to unleash your creativity, share your story, and potentially even turn your passion into a profitable business. People like Ian Payton, who's taken the course, launched their own podcast, and already in the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. And you could be next. The 7 Million Bikes podcast course is your ticket to podcasting greatness. Go to the link in my show notes right now and let's make your podcasting dream a reality.
Hi, I'm Aaron, the owner and producer of Oddly Funny Productions. That's Awdly Funny Productions. Bombing Run, the original comedy combat game show. It's an hour's worth of comedians clashing with their jokes. And soon to be released, Orb's Wacky World, a talk show with a twist. It'll be a mix of comedy, unusual questions, and music with Orb as the host. Oddly Funny Productions. We might be odd, but we bring the funny to you. That's Awdly Funny Productions.
Hey everyone, it's me again. If you're tired of listening to this show with all these ads in the way, go ahead and subscribe to my Patreon. In addition to listening to this show without the ads, you also get extended versions of these episodes and bonus clips as well. Doesn't cost that much. You can get plans for as low as $1 a month. You can show the love and your support. Just go to patreon.com/TomMyers, spelled M-Y-E-R-S, and subscribe and listen and enjoy today. Again, that's patreon.com/TomMyers.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello. And welcome to Tom Myers versus the rest of the world. It's a new year, and everyone's celebrated a little differently. In my hometown of Baltimore, the new year was celebrated with thousands of pounds of fireworks and explosives to say goodbye to 2023. And not wanting to be outdone by the residents, the city also decided to celebrate the arrival. Speaking of Baltimore, former Mayor Sheila Dixon, in an effort to kickstart her campaign to take back her old office, was at a campaign event, and hecklers started throwing clothes at her. It just shows how weak she's gotten politically. It used to be that she was weak because she was caught stealing gift cards meant for a charity, and she kept her $83,000 a year pension. Now she looks weak because she gets easily distracted by Lululemon products. On their Twitter X profile, C-SPAN commemorated the end of the first session of the 118th Congress by posting a typo and that it was the end of the fist session of the 118th Congress. Man, Lauren Boebert's really been busy this year. Lauren Boebert announced she's running for re-election to Congress, but in a different district. She will no longer be representing Colorado's 3rd congressional district. So she's ditching her constituents like they were her date at a musical. Various politicians and public figures have been swatted. That's when someone trolls them by calling the police on them, by reporting a very violent event that is not actually happening. They did this to Special Counsel Jack Smith. They did this to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and they also did it to Judge Tanya Chutkan, the D.C. judge in Trump's case. I mean, it's easy to say that you shouldn't do that to anyone, but I found great satisfaction when I did that to the guy who stole my cocaine.
Oh.
There's a new variant of COVID-19 spreading. As a result, hospitals and doctors' offices are requiring that patients and visitors wear face masks. I've never stopped wearing my mask, as it helps obscure my identity when I do a smash and grab while grocery shopping. And at the various nude orgies I attend.
Oh.
It's fitting that my generation is the last one to be told that sitting cross-legged was called Indian style, and that, fittingly enough, we're only a few health measures away from being wiped out by an epidemic. Fox host Neil Cavuto read some of his hate mail on his show. How lame is that? Just screenshot it and post it on the socials like I do. It's sad that Fox hosts have run out of material and are now basically scouring subreddits. Bridget Ziegler, the co-founder of the conservative anti-LGBTQ plus group Moms for Liberty, was found to have made a sex tape with another woman. Finally, a video made by a Moms for Liberty member that I want to watch for enjoyment. A Wall Street Journal piece came out and said that Elon Musk has done a lot of drugs such as cocaine, ecstasy, and ketamine. So that's why he renamed Twitter X, because his fans can't spell ecstasy. The big difference is that ecstasy is supposed to be fun. Musk has also reportedly smoked a lot of pot. Think about how much cooler his site would be if instead of doing a post, you would do a toke. How can Elon Musk smoke pot? This is the guy who wanted to fight Mark Zuckerberg. He's the worst pothead ever. Musk suspended the accounts of a number of journalists for reasons that, as of the recording of this episode, were not made clear. And were also not made clear at the airing of this episode. And at the moment when I'm using this clip in this year's year-end in review. Given his erratic behavior, maybe Musk should have renamed the site PCP. Joe Rogan said that Biden made the statement that there were airports during the American Revolution, a comment that was actually made by Donald Trump. It's fascinating to see one of the effects of an ivermectin overdose in real time. And now, on with the show. I want to welcome Jeff Heisen, Gina Brown, Chip Jones, and Valerie Pascal.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Everybody, hey. Happy New Year. Hope you guys happy enjoyed your holidays. How's everyone doing this week?
Well, Tom, you mentioned Lauren Boebert being concerned about her chances of re-election in her current district, so she's moving to another district. So in other words, she wants the people of another district to hand her the job.
Oh.
I thought she's moving from third to fourth base. Isn't that what she's doing?
She's seeking a happy ending in another district.
I feel like she'll get it handily.
I feel like she learned the wrong things from the priest scandal in Boston.
Right.
In Boston, in Baltimore, in New York, the planet, you know.
Mm-hmm. She just wants to get a rise out of her voters.
Oh, well.
We could go all night.
All right, everybody. All right, let's get a grip.
Yeah, way to be a leader, Tom. Just get a handle on this.
Right.
It's a dirty job, but I've got to do it.
Wait, what are you guys talking about? What?
It's fitting that 2023 was the lunar year of the rabbit, as quite a few people got fucked last year. So we can only conclude that 2024 will be even worse. We have an opportunity to keep Trump out of the White House and prevent the country from going full-blown fascist. In historical terms, we're airport security on September 10th. Donald Trump has taken to using terms and phrases used in speeches by Hitler and Mussolini, among other dictators in the 20th century. I'm not sure Trump will be able to pull off being a dictator, as his followers tend to wear clothes that are not pressed and ironed. Also, none of Hitler's rally attendees ever had a six-month shadow and beer guts. If Trump does go full dictator and round us up into internment camps, it will be demoralizing to know that he will still charge dissidents an exorbitant membership fee. Although the accommodation will still be better than that of his golf clubs. At this week's CNN debate, Donald Trump didn't appear on stage with the only other two qualifying candidates, Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley. I suspect it's because standing next to those two will make Trump look like someone dropped a grapefruit from about 10 stories up and then tried to put it back together again using packing tape. Oh. This is in conjunction with a decrease in enthusiasm in Trump's campaign. In fact, if his rally attendance keeps decreasing at the current rate, then next year he should be holding all of his rallies in the visitor's room at Leavenworth Prison. So... this is it. This is 2024. Like, this is what we've all been, waiting for since Biden was declared the winner in 2020, whether or not Trump would try to run again. And it's here. The first caucuses and primaries are coming up shortly. And by the end of the year, you know, we'll know where we'll all stand, and we may possibly have our future country of asylum picked out. Are we excited about that?
Things could be 1 year from now, which is, it's frightening if you think about it. So I try not to think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I picked out my future country of asylum back in 2021.
Portugal. I'd like Portugal.
I'm thinking Iceland.
Ooh, that's a little chilly for me, but for a visit, I could do.
Yeah.
Did those other people drop out on the Republican side? Like, I know, like, we only talk about two, but I don't think everybody officially dropped out, did they?
No, they're still in the running. They're still...
No, that's they may not be after... the Iowa caucus,
right? They just didn't have enough. They didn't have enough to make the debate, but they're still on the ballots for.
Yeah. I see.
Like Ramaswamy, Chris Christie, those guys. Right. They didn't meet some kind of threshold for that particular debate. Doesn't mean they won't be in any others,
right?
Like Ramaswamy didn't make the last debate, and he said, "I didn't want to do the debate." And he chose a podcast which has fewer listeners than this one.
In other words, he might be the best. He might be the best successor to Donald Trump. Then, like, if he just says, "I'm not doing this.
I don't want to do this.
I don't wanna."
It sounds like Tom. You could get him on here.
That's right.
If he's desperate, why the hell not?
Right. I have some questions for him.
With each legal trouble, it seems as though Donald Trump is hiring his counsel for their entertainment value as opposed to their legal expertise. In this video, Christina Bob, someone who will be lucky to be the bottom of the barrel in terms of the legal profession, makes very clear the position of her client in this clip from an interview on a conservative outlet.
The president is elected by the entire nation, and it should be the entire nation who determines who they want for president, whether they're guilty of insurrection or not. It's up to the people.
She's
yes. Wow.
I mean, you get the counsel you pay for, or in Trump's case, the counsel you don't pay for.
I mean, are attorneys allowed to suggest it? Regardless of your illegal behavior, like, you could still do this thing that's actually legal?
I mean just because you're in prison doesn't mean you can't run the country. Come on.
Okay.
Was she the attorney who was asked, and a real attorney, they asked her, would she rather be pretty or smart? And she said, I'd rather be pretty because I can fake being smart.
Counselor, I'm telling you one thing right now. No, you can't.
Just it's not video. Going so well for you.
That's right.
He's doing a bad job. That's inspirational, huh?
I like to think of myself as being pretty smart. So I think I'm hedging my bet.
I was stuck on the whole country should be able to choose the president. Well, the whole country did, and it was never him. Right. So are you saying we should get rid of the Electoral College?
No, I think what she's saying is that felons should be allowed to vote, is what she's saying.
And so here's in that Chip, I would push more and more on that. So here's my thing. If you are saying that regardless of the insurrection, first of all, that was she was already implying that there was guilt because an insurrection was done. That's what her statement said.
Right.
But then I would say, okay, well, then all these other felons who are now free, who've done their time, but they haven't gotten their rights to vote back yet. Then they also should be able to.
Everyone should be able to vote. Everyone. The whole country. Illegal aliens should be able. They're in the country. Let them vote. 10-year-olds, they're in the country. Let them vote.
No, as Valerie said, the Electoral College undermines democracy, in my view, because you see that the Supreme Court, many of the justices on the Supreme Court were put in place by presidents who did not have a majority of the popular vote.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
No, Trump put in three.
Yeah.
And George W. Bush didn't win the popular vote against Gore. So that's four, and that changes the parameters of which votes get passed.
Wait, Jeff, are you trying to tell me that a majority of this country, the United States of America, doesn't like the Republican candidates for president? Are you trying to tell me that?
I'm trying to be subtle. Yes, I think so. Yes, that was very nuanced, but yes.
The problem with the first crux of the problem with what you said there, Jeff, is we don't live in a democracy.
Ah, yeah.
We live in a democratic republic, so... Ah. It's we only get to vote for someone to actually make the decision on what should be done.
I need to
be dangerously close to an idiocracy.
We don't actually get to make the decision on what's done. We make the decision on who gets to decide what is done.
Unless we live in the District of Columbia, in which case it's probably some screw up from Utah.
You don't get decisions.
Chip, that doesn't make it right. I mean, that doesn't.
No, it doesn't make it right. But no. I mean, it's.
I just need to pay better attention the next time I watch Hamilton.
Right. I think the problem is you're trying to watch. You got to turn on the captions. I'm telling you, you got to turn on the captions.
It's too fast for this white guy.
Yeah, it's too fast.
How many times have you watched Hamilton, Jeff?
Well, at least a dozen. Seriously. I got to pay closer attention.
That's right.
Trump may be able to tell that 2024 may not be his year, as is evidenced from his behavior at this past New Year's Eve party at Mar-a-Lago.
Donald Trump spent New Year's Eve looking pretty miserable at his Mar-a-Lago party, being entertained by rapper Vanilla Ice. If you're not sure who that is, never mind. It's not important. There was also a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Not super important to anyone who isn't in the cult. But the kind of year Trump is going to have legally turns out to be kind of important to the rest of us.
He's bummed out at a party with Vanilla Ice and a Ninja Turtle? Like, what is he, six?
Vanilla charge for that.
What I want to know is how come only one of the turtles agreed to show up. Which one was it? You know?
This sounds like a bar mitzvah because if he's that grumpy, he's probably 13 years old.
Leonardo will go anywhere. You know, it's like
When they said the turtle, it panned on Ivanka. So I actually thought she was speaking about Ivanka, one of the Ninja Turtles. And then I saw Ivanka's face. I was like, oh, is that what we call her now?
Also, it's nice to see him try to modernize by bringing his, you know, his knowledge of American culture, like, into the 1980s. Like, he's not quite in the 21st century yet, but he's getting there.
Right. Ice, baby.
That's it. It was the vanilla that got him. He's like, oh, that sounds like white supremacy. Yeah, hire that guy.
Let's contrast that to Green Day. A shout out to Green Day.
Right?
Because,
yes.
Because they were singing the song American Idiot, and Billy Joe Armstrong changed the lyrics and included it. I'm not a part of the MAGA agenda.
Perfect. I know.
Yep.
If you get offended by a song called American Idiot, guess what? You're the idiot.
A song called American Idiot on an album that was released as an Iraq war protest album.
That's right.
It's almost as if some of these people only listened to the first word and not the rest of it.
Right. I don't know. I think I'm like Trump. Vanilla Ice is at the party. I'm going to be bummed out because I'm wondering who's patrolling the border. Shouldn't he be down on the border?
But South Carolina, historically being one of the most decisive states in the early presidential nominating process, one would think that any event to promote one's candidate would be an opportunity to showcase the best that your supporters have to offer. Unfortunately, the Republicans in Greenville County, South Carolina, didn't get the memo, much less learn how to read it, as we can see in this report filed by The Guardian.
We've come to South Carolina, one of the early voting primary states, where polls say Trump holds a commanding lead. We're heading out to meet some people at the Greenville County GOP, which is the largest Republican party in the whole of South Carolina. And it's been taken over by a far-right Trumpist insurgency. Its state executive committeeman is Jeff Davis, who openly expresses disdain for so-called rhinos.
Everett Hadley, rhino, censure me.
Meaning Republican in name only.
South Carolina, Trump country.
It is Trump country. They're reporting South Carolina is between, what, Teflon and titanium, as in regards to Trump. So
which one is it? I feel like titanium is a bit stronger than Teflon.
I think it would be titanium. Though.
Yeah.
So.
Have you got a photograph of the two of you together?
Yeah. You got the picture with Donald Trump in the rally? So she actually was more excited because Lauren Trump was there. So she's more into the fashion and what the ladies do. So I was a fan of Donald Trump from the book, The Art of the Deal. Olga's more of a fan of Donald Trump from
The Apprentice.
Although the Republican primary hasn't even started yet, most people here express an undying loyalty to one man and to the many conspiracy theories that surround his candidacy.
Have you read any of the indictments yet?
I have not read it personally. I have gotten my information from different news sources, a number of different news sources. My favorite is Real America's Voice. That's my favorite.
These indictments, there's nothing in any of these indictments. They're indicting him on things that are perfectly legal.
He told him to find him some votes. That's what he told him, wasn't it?
Oh, fine. He can say that. I mean, you know, he can.
So he what? Make up votes.
He didn't say make up votes.
Falsify votes.
He said, find some votes. Check this thing out.
So I watched a clip from The Patriot last night, and I found out where hold the line comes from. So that's our new expression. We're holding the line. They're beautiful.
Are they functional?
Of course they are.
I mean, there's so much to unpack there in that video. Like, first off, if you wanna convince Americans that your guy isn't an insurrectionist who wants to tear apart the country, don't have the executive head of your county's party in the first state to secede from the union, and don't have him be named Jeff Davis.
That's right. I still wonder, are they going to free that slave lady? Are they going to free him?
Wasn't Miss Daisy driving him? And then she was there too, holding the gun.
Oh, she was in the sunken place.
Right. Oh, I'm embarrassed. That's somebody's grandmother. That's oh. Right.
But I like the lady. She said, I haven't read anything personally, but I've gotten it from several different news sources like Hannity, Fox and Friends, and Tucker
Newsmax. Yeah, own Newsmax, Real America's Voice. I get a variety of sources.
Also, I love that one woman in that video was so conservative that she basically just did everything her husband said. Honey, go get that picture of me with Donald Trump. Honey, didn't you go see because Lara Trump because of the fashion and all, and you just sat and watched TV and all, and was like, that's...
But she said that's what the ladies do, because that's what all the ladies do. Right. That's all we do.
Oh,
and also his trust. Well, you know, I became a fan of Trump from reading Art of the Deal, and she's like, I got it from watching him on Apprentice.
Your apprentices.
Oh no, she said apprentices.
Apprentices.
Which accurate, although not the name of the show.
right. Wow.
I feel like just replace Republican Donald Trump fans with people who believe they've been abducted, and it's the same. It's the same thing. I just kept waiting for like the woman sitting down who got her news from all these fantastic sources to also say something like, you know, the lone gunman, and there's really aliens in Area 51. Like, you want to go and talk about conspiracy theories? Go ahead and go all out.
In a way, we can thank Trump supporters, for if it weren't for them, then I wouldn't feel as bad about how I explain my various positions on stuff as this young man does when he's asked to explain why he's wearing a T-shirt featuring Donald Trump's mugshot.
The Never Surrender is a little bit confusing because this is his mugshot, right?
This is his mugshot, yeah.
And he was literally surrendering when he was doing this.
Yeah. See, now you're trying to spin it, but...
I'm just trying to state the obvious. I mean, I'm trying to understand. Explain to me, I mean, because some people look at this and they say, yeah, Donald Trump, never surrender, go after the deep state. And then other people say, well, why use a picture of him surrendering and have the line that says, never surrender?
Can you repeat the question?
Why have a T-shirt that has a picture of his mugshot of him surrendering and then have it say, never surrender?
Well... because you can't surrender to these people. I mean, it's like, I don't really know how to explain it too well, but...
Well, maybe you surrender if you're criminally charged and you have to show up in court. Is that a time to surrender?
How do I put this? I don't really know.
Yes.
Wow. You know what? Mental gymnastics is especially fun when they don't stick the landing.
That's right.
He said, could you repeat the question? Like he was going to be able to have time to formulate the answer.
can you use it in a sentence? Can I get the origin?
Can I phone a friend?
Are you trying to think of some? Are you trying to repeat something so you can think of something to say back to the poor heckler that is putting a microphone in your face?
Wow! Oh my gosh!
Yeah, the reporter should have just asked, "Hey, do you want to answer this, or you just want to surrender? What do you do?"
You can give up right now.
That's right.
All of these clips, honestly, would just for the 2024 Biden campaign, they would make such amazing ads because you can just cut and splice them so easily and just throw his supporters and his own words sort of right back at him. Biden really doesn't have to say anything.
It's not just supporters wearing campaign T-shirts that make the entire internet cringe, but piss poor attempts at song parodies. This is especially true if said song parodies are done around the holiday season, as this user demonstrates.
Howdy. Want to say Merry Christmas to all of you, and hope that you're all in good spirits and doing well, and got my Christmas shirt on to be in a festive spirit. But I got a little Christmas ditty that I want to do for you that I borrowed a tune from another song for. And I want to send this out to all my Facebook family, friends, and supporters, and all you believers out there. It's Christmas, and anything can happen. So I hope you like this. Joe Biden got run over by the Trump train, walking toward the White House Christmas Eve. Now you can say there's no such thing as justice, but as for me and Trumpers, we believe.
So he took the time to write the song, you know, search for the MIDI sound file.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put it onto a cassette tape, it sounded like, pressed play, sing it, and then thought to himself, this is a great thing to post.
God bless him.
Again, when you refer to yourself and your friends as believers, I entirely expect there to be talk about aliens coming after this.
Or at least for
once again.
There'll be some fruit punch after the.
At least he responded, unlike the guy in the Young Turks video. But he seems like he'd be more at home in that Greenville, South Carolina barbecue.
But then he wouldn't get to wear his special Christmas shirt.
That's true.
It had that orange phallic thing.
Well, yeah.
Out of his breast, like it was like.
That was a really bad placement of the snowman on his shirt.
And it was. Was the snowman blue? Did anyone know the snowman was blue?
I don't know if it was blue, but it had a long wish coming out of his
that's what that guy gets. That's how that guy gets when he thinks about Trump.
I have to say, I'm a little disappointed in you, Tom. When you said this was the best video you saved for last, I was kind of hoping it was going to be the Mom of Liberty tape. Had my fingers crossed. But.
Well, this video, the full video was about 3 minutes long, and that was really the only listenable part of that. It just got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. I'm just imagining all his friends that were, you know, commenting on Facebook. Genius! Oh, genius! This is great! I need a copy of this. Genius!
I looked at the YouTube comments. You're not that far off.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, Tom. I don't know how you, like, get to sleep at night with all the stuff. Honestly.
Oh, very strong drugs, simply.
How do any of us sleep? You know, it's like living in a house filled with cockroaches. You just know they're there, you know. It's like that's how I feel about this country. You're just like, ugh.
And once those cockroaches learn how to write song parodies, we're fucked.
Well, you know what they say. The one you can hear singing a parody, you know, there's 100 more out there.
Yeah.
Oof. And on that very cheerful note, that's our show. I want to thank Jeff Heisen, Gina Brown, Chip Jones, and Valerie Pascal.
Thanks, Tom.
Before I conclude this episode, a very sentimental final thought. There comes a time in one's life when everyone has to do something like this, and it's very dreadful. It's also quite unfortunate that in my case, I have to do this to two of my entertainment colleagues. At the beginning of December, the DC comedy community lost Ken Water, also known as DC's funniest tax accountant. I knew Ken as not only a great and funny comedian, in fact, I actually thought he was funnier than me, but he was also my accountant. He handled a lot of my comedy expenses and and comedy income and showed me what deductions I can take and all that hassle and all that bullshit that I really didn't want to do. So he was a very good friend in many aspects. He was not only a fellow comedian, not only my accountant, but was also a fellow sports fan. We went to a lot of Washington Wizards games down in D.C. together. And we also attended quite a few games at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, where he would often rib me about how bad the Orioles would do. And rightfully so, because most of the times we went there, they would have very bad seasons. I will also remember Ken for something very remarkable, about a transformation he made in his political views around 2016. I knew Ken as a loyal Republican. Of course, I worked for various Democratic candidates, locally and statewide here in Maryland, over the course of 10 years. So he and I would often have very frank, very serious, but often very civil political discussions. In 2016, he had a conversion. He saw the kind of candidate that Donald Trump was, and once he won, and once he started enacting some of his policies, he realized he was not only not able to vote for the top of the Republican ticket, but also not able to support Republican candidates altogether. He shared his conversion on an episode of this podcast in late 2021, an excerpt of which I will play right now.
Reason why I wanted to have you on for this particular episode is because I know you and I have talked, we've known each other for a long time. In the past few years, you've undergone somewhat of a political conversion. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's I was a lifelong Republican. I have voted for every Republican president since Reagan, every single one, except for Trump. And, you know, it was interesting because the Hillary Clinton was the last person I would ever consider voting for in my life. Couldn't stand her. Couldn't tolerate the thought of her being in public life, never mind being president. But because the opponent was him, she slided down to the second worst person I could ever vote for. And so I stood in the polls, and it took me like 20 minutes just to stare at the ballot. And then I finally pulled the lever and went home and cried in the shower. I said, you know, I figured my choices are basically, do I tread water in the cesspool for 4 years, or do I play Russian roulette with half the chambers loaded? And I figured it was too big a risk. So 4 years later, I said, you know what? I was right.
That you feel okay about that decision?
Oh, yeah. It was the right decision. And I stayed Republican because I said, you know, this is temporary. He's here. He's going to be gone. And we'll get back to things because, you know, mostly for economic policies, military policies, I'm much more right wing than left wing. But for social policies, I'm much more left wing than right wing. But it became evident that it was not going to get better quickly or even in the short run. And when they got rid of Liz Cheney for basically telling the truth, I said, I'm out.
I think the big thing that was brought up is that once Trump was elected, like the consensus was that, okay, he'll be president, but at least he'll be pliable. You know, he'll be easy to mold. Like it'll be easy to go ahead and go along with certain policy decisions. But you know, it ended up backfiring on, you know, the rest of the country and going to the Breitbart universe and the Newsmax folks.
Well, I thought he would do what Reagan did or what George Bush did and basically surround himself with competent people and just say and just let them really do the detail work and be the figurehead. That's not what happened. So, you know, it really did backfire. But I think a lot of people were, you know, they liked the show. They liked the stated policies, but they figured, you know, competent people would handle the details. But, you know, the competent people just kind of kept dropping out of the picture.
So the DC comedy community lost a very funny comic and a good friend in Ken Water. Sadly, later that same month, the Baltimore comedy community lost an entertainer of a different sort. Jeremy Woodworth was a lot of things. He starred in a lot of films. He was a very talented and multifaceted stage performer. And he also had a knowledge of movies that was unparalleled. He could pull out references to movies that I had long forgotten. He could make connections to those various references and various connections to movies in ways I have not seen anybody be able to replicate. I knew of Jeremy through his brother, a very funny comedian by the name of Eric Woodworth, also a good friend of mine. And together, the three of us did a couple of episodes of their podcast, Quality Time. It's interesting to note that I taped two episodes, but we somehow stretched it out into three. The reasoning for which boggles me to this day. I also learned that in addition to being a movie buff, Jeremy was also a songwriter. In fact, he also wrote three songs about me, which I will go ahead and play for you here. These are from two different episodes of Quality Time.
By the way, if you could say one of your most ashamed of joke or your worst joke, what would you say it is?
One of the worst ones?
Yeah.
See, I've blocked out the worst ones. I think
because what if somebody made a song about it?
I think it's one of his better jokes. If I'm going to be honest with you, Jeremy made this little hit
I think
for
I'll
you.
Go ahead and hear the. I'll just go ahead throw, and hear the song.
Throw this on. Here's a Jeremy Woodworth's tribute to. Well, Jeremy made two songs for you, so I hope you're ready. First, probably should have played this earlier.
Strap in.
Here's his song, King Myers.
That's it.
Okay, there's King Myers.
I want that playing over my casket at my funeral.
Yes!
Like, you know how in the Gaza Strip, you know, all the Palestinians, they go ahead and lift people up on coffins? I want everybody to do that with my coffin.
And we will
And have that song playing in the background.
Except it'd be 100 guys almost naked except for gold Speedos singing the background. So
Jeremy's got one more hot take for you.
This is one of your better jokes that we love.
Get ready for the other Jeremy Woodworth. In.
Foggy transplants. Foggy transplants.
What did she get?
Foggy transplants. Foggy transplants.
What did she get?
Foggy transplants. Foggy transplants.
What did she get?
Foggy transplants.
Same thing about that bit, like that's the
just the water okay, sounds right. At the end. That's the water sounds.
Just a little bit more bong water there.
That was the first episode from 2018, and now here's one from just a couple of years later.
And we have a special guest today, returning to the show, and one of our honestly one of our most downloaded episodes of all time, the great Tom Myers, and we do have a special introduction for him. Okay, there you are.
You didn't get to the best part of the song.
Okay, I wish. Should I pick it back up, Jeremy? I'll take you.
Just 20 seconds more is all I ask.
For the great political knowledge and prowess, yes. No. Do you know what it is? Because he's not gay.
Okay, I got it. Because he's not gay. Okay, that was...
That's all the joke I wanted to get into this program.
You took us on a long ride right there.
That was one more joke than you did the last time I was there. So
got his ass. Got his ass. Fuck yeah, Tom. Slanging rocks tonight.
Well, you know, I'm only saying that because we're separated by fiber optics.
Yes.
So if I was in there, I would have been too chicken shit to make that comment if I was in the same room, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, well, if you were in the same room as Jeremy, you'd be getting devoured by the rats that have overtaken his house. So you're in luck.
Well, my main wrestling move is where I get you in a headlock and then just scratch my skin into your face. So, which good usually old, leads to old, vomiting. So,
good old wholesome family entertainment.
I call it the Parmesan arm lock.
The Parmesan arm lock, classic move by Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, your horrible psoriasis, it never ceases to disgust me. Thank you.
It's comedy gold.
It really is.
So that was the magic. That was Jeremy Woodworth. So Ken Water and Jeremy Woodworth were two very different performers, two very different regions of the DMV area, as we call it, but both of whom I will greatly miss. Good night. This episode was written and hosted by Tom Myers, with panelists Jeff Heisen, Gina Brown, Chip Jones, and Valerie Pascal. Thanks to Ken Water and Jeremy Woodworth. Special thanks to Eric Woodworth, Ashley Pontius, and the Quality Time Podcast. Theme music composed and arranged by Jeroen Vandenhoek. Executive producers, Tom Myers, Matt Connerton for IPM Nation, and Eddie Carson for Odyssey Radio. Please leave a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast's Patreon for early access to episodes, ad-free episodes, extended episodes, bonus clips, and more. Thank you for listening, and please visit tommyers.us. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. If you want to listen to more of this episode, go ahead and subscribe to my Patreon. There you can get extended versions of episodes like this one, as well as bonus clips. You can even listen to regular episodes without all these pesky little ads through which you have to fast forward. Doesn't really cost that much. Plans as low as $1 a month. Go to patreon.com/TomMyers, spelled M-Y-E-R-S. Show the love, subscribe, show your support today. That's patreon.com/TomMyers.
Hi everyone. I'm Orb. I am not the official spokesperson for Oddly Funny Productions. That's A-W-D-L-Y, Funny Productions. Aaron is tied up right now. Shut up, I'll untie you in a minute. Here at Oddly, we're producing some great shows. Bombing Run, where comedians compete to see whose joke erase. And Orb's Wacky World, a talk show with a mix of comedy, uncomfortable questions, and music, hosted by yours truly. When you think of comedy, think of Oddly Funny Productions. That's A-W-D-L-Y, Funny Productions. Now, how do I get out of here?
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.